Buckley Wagon Quartet.
Thank you, Chair. I attend on behalf of the Director of Family and Social Services at Hatton Leeds to present her name to the committee dated the 30th of January. It appears to be my assumption that everyone has seen the paper and read it, so to propose to provide you with a brief summary. In essence, councillors, Dr. Toad was focused on the challenges facing the department in relation to the budget, and on the first page of the report, you'll find detail around the current significant budget pressures for adult social care, together with the historic savings that were generated by the department. The report goes into detail in terms of where these pressures are arising, and I'm happy to take questions in relation to any specifics that you do have. In addition, at page 3 of the report, Dr. Toad has covered a performance update for adult social care. And most of the notes for the committee today is that the service is supporting 3,159 people. During November alone, 126 lease assessments were completed, the average having been 150, and 186 reviews were also undertaken. So that's a total of in excess of 300 direct face-to-face contacts between the department and those who serve to ensure that their care and support is being met so far as possible. The finance and charging team continues to operate effectively and are undertaking 171 needs test assessments in November alone. Their average time for completing them is 5.2 days. So a quick turnaround for those concerned in terms of understanding their financial guidance and for any care and support that they have moving forward. Safeguarding continues to be a priority, and I'm sure the committee will endorse that direct approach by the adult social care department. We've received 292 safeguarding alerts in November, with 68% of those alerts resulting in formal referrals of investigation. Performance remains high in the department, however, we don't be high enough when we're talking about safeguarding. We continue to work closely with our colleagues to identify ways in which we can improve our safeguarding processes to ensure that those serving receive the best possible quality and care and support. Delayed transfers of care continue to be a priority for us, working with our partners across health and the voluntary sector and the independent sector. It's a system target, not individual targets. Although the report speaks at length about the action taken by adult social care to address delayed discharges of care. In terms of a brief update, I'd like to draw to your attention the fact that for last week, weekend on the 10th of January, adult social care was able to reach its target. Health was able to reach its target, and we're consistent for the first time since the targets were adjusted. We came in exactly as we expected us to be, nearly 5.78 beds per 100,000 people. So the systems we're putting in place really have traction, and the joint working areas, which I know my colleague Jane will speak to later, are having some impact. Performance across housing needs is also covered by the report, and the summary provides you with what we need. Exciting fact. What we now know is that since the 23rd of December, no families have been living in bed and breakfast accommodation, which is a really important target for us as a council, as well as us for housing needs service. Further details in relation to housing needs include information in terms of families living in temporary accommodation, and steps are being taken along with our cabinet board to identify how we can better source temporary accommodation to meet the needs of individuals. 37% more households have been prevented from becoming homeless this year compared to 2018, and that represents 62 more households who have stayed in the secure in their own accommodation. The emergency winter shelter opened in November 2019, and that's provided support for up to 25 emergency beds now online. Less positively, it should be noted that at the end of November, there were still 2,673 people registered on HomeFinder. This is a 20% increase from November 2018. The increase is key to the extent of unmet need across the island in its entirety. There is a breakdown on the final page of the report in terms of the people who fall into each of the categories within HomeFinder, but we are currently experiencing issues such as overcrowding, medical issues leading to homelessness and insecurity and tendencies, all key actions from police and housing needs to be part of progress. Because I believe purposes of that conclude the report, I'm happy to take any questions you have.
Thank you, Laura, for a very comprehensive report, and thank here with an opera that we believe personally and as a department. I think it really does reflect the increase in comments and is growing stronger. Any questions? Go.
I've got one about the number of people who fund their own care. So obviously that has an impact eventually when their funding decreases to such a low level. Our services need to pay. Are you working with people on their own care when they're looking at making a decision about their future? Because that's probably the best way to go. And I totally understand that many people have been living in care for years. So, you know, you have no other option but to pay for their care. But I just wondered what you were doing to kind of be able to that.
Jeffrey New, and I'm also sharing really aligned to the issue of people who fall into funding their own care. We have plenty of friends who practice with patient. It's not the nicest friends, but it is nationally what we call that group of people who historically have been able to fund their own care. These assets will be under the legal threshold depending on eligible for social care. The number of people who meet that cohort every year varies, and it's something which we have no control over. What I can tell you in terms of the adult social care budget issues, that's increased pressure in terms of spending an additional £1 million for this financial year. So it is not an insignificant proportion of legal funding that attracts. We are aligned to that issue, and for adult social care, it's very much about helping people to make informed decisions at early stages. The care close to home strategy focuses on supporting people to remain their own homes for as long as they can, and a number of the work streams within modern care program that's sponsored by the local care board see us really looking really down into what support we put in place to help people stay at home. Quite often what we find is that social isolation, as the leader said, is one of the key factors that drives a person to make a decision to move to residential care or nursing care earlier. It costs them more money in that interim, and they tend to come to attention about the social care sooner than if they've been living at home. By working with our partners in the voluntary sector, for example, the Living World Service, working with the UK, working with care design, working with people matter, we're able to support people to understand that there are other options and to facilitate those other options. In addition to that, we're supporting people who are open to accepting their own domestic care and support. We've got an enhanced personal assistant offer on the island that is as available to those who want their own care as it is to those who don't. So we've building up the of options for people from their own care to support them in the same way we support people who come to the majority for funding to their care and support needs.
George.
Thank you, Chairman. It's a very good report, very informative. The families that are living in temporary accommodation, I know it varies, but is there a time limit they have to? They can't stay in temporary accommodation, or is it never ending? Is it open ended?
My understanding, House of Commons, is that it is open ended. A person receives support of temporary accommodation for as long as they need it to secure a permanent option. It's the work that's going on with those families in temporary accommodation that now is slightly different, and it's not proactive than it was historically. So a number of options are available, whereas before, a person often waited for social housing, now there's very different deposit schemes. And support to help people secure accommodation through the private rented sector, as well as through celebration sessions. So there's no limits in terms of duration, but we are supporting people to move into a permanent home as soon as we can.
Lovely, thanks.
Can I just add to that as well? The team within the housing is that they've changed some of the ways that they work. So what we're trying to do as well is to make sure that we engage people before they come to move out of the property and become in temporary accommodation. So the team will now become familiar with the different landlords to see if there's anything they can do, open up that discussion. Sometimes that really does help to accept to ensure that people can retain the property that they are already in and don't become in the situation they have to go to temporary accommodation.
Lovely, thanks.
Michael.
Yeah, I have a few questions for the public. Firstly, was a complimentary report from our own. I know it actually says on the first page your predicted overspend of 736. Actually, in the circumstances you're working in, I think actually that's quite good. Because actually, you are already in a difficult situation, so compliment to Claire and Carol and all of the team.
Keep them at home longer. It's also a living independent sector looking at the business model and working with us for our foresight also in the future.
John, have you got to say? Okay, thank you.
Good. Just I suppose to raise this issue on 27 on the Eaton Farm. And again, I'm going to compliment the council for actually tackling this issue, I think, with it. But it's the fact that it's a 20% increase, and the fact that this issue of a huge reliance on private landlords, and we have some very good landlords, but we also have some terrible ones. And often if you're living in, property that's not really fit for purpose or just on the line, you are not going to get well. And also if that tenancy is insecure, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I'm just concerned that we need to get a good register of landlords and some models of a good example, and also examples of, because fuel policy is a big issue which was brought up by the public health. How do we make sure that people have to stay in inadequate things? Is there other ways that things like schemes get installation and present to actually be able to wrap around, so that appalling accommodation has some kind of mitigation to it? Because I think that if you look at some of the properties in the areas that I own, big Victorian houses which have lots of flats are often in appalling conditions, and we need to look at the health effects or effects of that. So we thank you for raising it, but of course, I think it is a horrendous situation.
Thank you.
I think sort of get where you're coming from, but I think we also have to make sure that as a council we put out, we have an awful lot of good landlords out there.
Yes.
Us sitting in the south of the landlord, and I'm not letting anybody move the property into it, so absolute spot, we've been got big wires, we can't miss and all of that. For me, this is a bigger picture. So I would always say, when I look back at my granddad's memoirs, the proudest my nan ever was when they moved into their first council house. I go to lots of meetings where I hear people moaning about a level of we don't want anything built here, we don't want anything built there. I think as a council, we have to, one, agree that we have to get the number of houses that we need right, but also, I have on my housing register this amount of people. This is the register that is coming in front of me. I can't sit in front of a meeting where people are starting to talk about social housing or building affordable housing. That's the direction of travel that we need to go on. The people on this register are already using hospital. They already have children in school. They are islanders who need decent quality housing. If you listen to Councillor Abraham, one of the things that he wants to do is have a proper landlord register, so that people are registered and know the quality of the housing that's being provided. That is really important. It is also really important that we realise we do have to look and really ensure that it's a cabinet priority to have proper social and affordable housing. And we have to accept there is a huge difference between the two. So it is that direction travel that we have, that landlord register. What we don't want to do is make a situation where landlords, private landlords, are being completely pushed out of the market. They can place on the island. So it's not just those social landlords, but also those private landlords. So I think the work of the housing team are doing, we're building that communication and working with private landlords as well as helping that situation. So for me, definitely want to say, before the next election, we've got some space coming out of the ground, and we're actually building some proper social and affordable housing, because that will help the situation next week.
Right, thank you. I think it's fair to say now that this committee has been critical, quite rightly so, of adult social care in the past, and also health partners, but I think this is a meeting where we can note the tremendous progress that adult social care has made and a substantial move to proactivity, which is and looking in the wider field. So I think it's a meeting where we can offer full support for what we're doing, and if there's anything that you need us to look at, then please, you know, we'll be very keen to be part of what you're doing. Thank you. Right, so next item on the agenda is